I speak to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, good morning. It's good to be back with you after a couple of weeks away for vacation. We had a lovely time visiting with our families up in Massachusetts and enjoyed some welcome time of rest and relaxation. There were many highlights from the trip, which I'd be glad to share with you over coffee hour. And there was also one big lowlight that unfortunately I think bears telling, given today's gospel passage. You see, part of the time up there we spent with my extended family on Martha's Vineyard. And one day we decided it might be fun to hire a boat to take us out fishing. So my dad, my brother, and I, along with Vincent and Arthur, my two boys, made our way down to the docks at daybreak, greeted the captain, and motored out into the beautiful harbor, ready to catch some fish. But as we made our way around the point into the open Atlantic, the conditions started to change. The wind picked up a little, and the serene seas of the harbor became a choppy mess, which meant by the time we approached the fishing grounds, we were pitching and rolling all over the place. A powerful storm system, which was still a day or two away, was roiling the waters and apparently scaring all the fish away. We sat out there for hours without even a nibble, nary a minnow on the radar, all turning greener and greener by the minute with nausea and discouragement. But it was only when one of the grown-ups, doesn't matter who, made an attempt to attract some fish by chumming the waters, throwing up his breakfast over the side of the boat, that we decided to cut the trip short and call it a day. Now, mercifully, we made it back to land and everyone started to feel better, but I found that feeling of rocking and rolling on the waves followed me home. For some time, my equilibrium was still off. And this is always an unsettling sensation if you've had it, to be standing on what you think is solid ground and yet feel like you are still moving in the waves. Eventually, this too subsided, and I was happy to put the whole event behind me and not think about it anymore until I got back to the office this week and pulled out the gospel reading for today, only to be confronted by another story of a rough day out on the water. And immediately I could feel that pitching and rolling starting to come back, that the disciples, they too, must have felt. Experienced fishermen though they were, I doubt they got seasick, but they were certainly in distress. Wind and waves battering their little boat all night long, and yet, somehow, in the midst of the storm, Jesus comes calmly walking to them across the troubled sea. It is one of Jesus' most stunning miracles, this walking on water. All the more so when you really picture the scene, the darkest hour of the night, the wind and waves going wild, swamping the boat, overwhelming the disciples, and yet there he is making his way across the waters, completely unfazed. Like all his miracles, this moment inspires awe and devotion in his disciples and in us. Truly, you are the Son of God, they say. But also, like all his miracles, there is more for us to learn than just how amazing Jesus was. Something important, I think, for us to glean about how he is able to proceed with such centered calmness while things roil and rage about him. For it is not just wind which buffets us in life. The waves that batter us do not have to be literal to be damaging. We live in a time when we are being tossed from one crisis to the next. We are swamped by seas of information and instigation trying to roil us up and keep us off balance. And that is on top of the other inevitable storms of life, strained relationships, stress at work, surprise diagnoses. All of these can also make us feel unsteady on our feet and desirous of some solid ground. And living in this place of instability can quickly leave us worn out, sick to our stomachs, and tired, irritable, scared, maybe even despairing. What we need is to be able to find some solid ground where it feels like there is none. And the way to do that is by finding a way to ground ourselves in God. I don't think it is a coincidence that Jesus performs this remarkable feat of walking on water after spending a whole night in prayer. If we rewind to earlier in this chapter, we hear that Jesus' cousin and friend, John the Baptist, has just been beheaded. This must have hit Jesus like a massive emotional wave. And the text tells us that he has been trying to get off by himself to process it all ever since he heard the news. But the crowds wouldn't leave him be, which led to the feeding of the 5,000, which we heard about last week. But after that interlude, in today's passage, he still is seeking solitude, which is why he sends the disciples on ahead and goes off up the mountain by himself to pray. He needs that time of prayer, of quiet communion with God to get his balance back, to find the solid ground that comes from being in God's presence. And for him, because he's Jesus, that ground is so solid, it allows him to walk where there is no ground at all. This story is not unrelated to our Old Testament lesson about the prophet Elijah. Elijah has had a very vigorous beginning to his prophetic work. He has been very zealous for the Lord indeed, and it has made him some powerful enemies, one of whom, Queen Jezebel, has sworn to kill him, and so he flees to the desert to escape. And there he collapses, exhausted. Enough, he prays to God. Just let me die. I have failed in my mission. They are trying to kill me. It is enough. I'm done. God refuses this request and instead offers Elijah the experience of his unmediated presence. There, in the cleft of the rock of Mount Sinai, where Moses himself came to meet with God many years before, Elijah watches as three destructive, destabilizing forces come by. A violent wind breaking apart the rocks above him, an earthquake shaking the ground beneath him, a fire consuming all that is around him. These are like physical representations of what Elijah is feeling and has been experiencing. The chaos and the turmoil raging all around him and leaving him defeated and distraught. But God is not in the wind, or the earthquake, or the fire. It is not until all that chaos has passed, in the sheer silence that follows, that God speaks to him in that still, small voice. The true power of God found in the calm and the quiet. And just as Jesus is able to walk on water after finding that place of peace and connection with God, after this revelation, Elijah is able to head back into the fray, completing his prophetic work on behalf of the children of Israel against all odds. Both of these stories are about how we find a center of stability and strength when we are feeling off balance, or knocked down, or pushed around by life. And both Elijah and Jesus find that place of stability by spending time with God in prayer. And while it is true that they were both capable of particularly spectacular feats of faith and worked wonders we could only dream of, there is nothing spectacular about their practice of prayer. of putting themselves in God's presence and absorbing the stabilizing, sustaining power that is found there. This is very much within our capacity to do as well. For in many ways, that is the purpose of prayer, to help us find a way to that deep, calm, quiet, but unshakable center found in God. Without that, it's like we are living life standing on one foot, very easily knocked over, or on no feet at all, just being swept along in the currents of current events. Without a willingness to ground ourselves in God, when the winds of life pick up, we will have nothing to stand on and quickly start to sink, just like Peter. But if we can cultivate that solid ground within ourselves through prayer, we can absorb some pretty mighty blows and keep our footing in the midst of whatever wind and waves may be assailing us. How good it is to center down, the spiritual writer Howard Thurman wrote. You know he is one of my favorites, and on this topic, he is most effective. How good it is to center down, to sit quietly and see one's self pass by. The streets of our minds seethe with endless traffic. Our spirits resound with clashings, with noisy silences, while something deep within hungers and thirsts for the still moment and the resting lull. With full intensity, we seek a fresh sense of order in our living, a direction, a strong, sure purpose that will structure our confusion and bring meaning in our chaos. As we listen, he goes on, floating up through all of the jangling echoes of our turbulence, there is a sound of another kind, a deeper note, which only the stillness of the heart makes clear. It moves directly to the core of our being, and our questions are answered. Our spirits refreshed, and we move back into the traffic of our daily round with the peace of the eternal in our step. How good it is to center down. It is good. Very good. Which is why it is curious that so many of us resist doing it. I think this is often because we are worried we don't really know how to develop this kind of prayer practice, how to center down and put ourselves in the presence of God. And it's true, it takes practice and effort and intention and focus. It's not just tuning out or relaxing, but it is still entirely achievable for everyone. All you need is to commit the time to commune with God, opening yourself and saying, I am here. I know you are here. Let's spend some time together and see what comes up. When I actually started praying in this way, it changed my whole experience of God and my understanding of faith. It's how we actually start to develop what we might call a relationship with God. And it becomes a way to absorb that peace which passes all understanding and gain some measure of control over our own heart and mind so that we are less easily knocked off balance. But it will not happen unless we do it. When it comes to our life of prayer, we cannot be passive, just waiting for extraordinary moments to break through and remind us of God's presence and power. Those moments tend to be more intermittent than is helpful. We need something regular and consistent. Now, sitting still in silence may not be what works for you. There may be something else, some other way, for you to center down and ground yourself in God. Find it. Yes, coming to church is a good first step. And we've got some prayer groups that you can join that might help. But this needs to be an everyday thing. And even more so when you feel the winds start to pick up. Like many things we know are good for us, developing a discipline of prayer often falls into the gap between knowing and doing. It seems like a nice thing to do, but not a necessary thing to do. So it continually gets bumped down the priority list by the busyness of life. And yet all the while, we continue to get tossed to and fro. Without some way to center down and stay grounded in God, the waves of life, I'm afraid, will wash us out pretty quickly. And I'll tell you this, if we choose to live our lives in a boat that is constantly pitching and rolling, we will end up losing way more than our lunch. No, finding the time, making the time, making the effort to put ourselves in the presence of God, this is essential to our spiritual survival. Because if we can find our way to the solid ground of God, then no matter the wind or the waves that arise, we too will have found our way to walk across the water. Amen.